everybody, to another episode of Keeping It True by You Pelicans. It is draft day if you're watching this on the day of release, but of course yesterday some major breaking news did go down as it was announced to the public that it looks like the Pelicans will be trading CJ McCollum for Jordan Poole. Of course, some other players and picks will be swapping along the way. We'll talk about it all in the first part of this episode, but whenever you think about draft day being here, it obviously can excite what could be for the future, but right now the future is here, and we're seeing what this new Joe Dumars and Troy Weaver led front office is doing for your Pelicans, and so far you have net positives. And of course that starts with the breaking news that came out on Tuesday referring to the CJ McCollum trade, as one of your core pieces of that David Griffin era is now on his way to Washington, and it sparks momentum for what will be next for the Pelicans. Of course, this team is in an interesting position because some people would see that Willie Green got retained and you think, oh, they're just running it back. There's not going to be that much different. But if you look behind the scenes, major things are now underway that show that the direction of this team is not going to be anything like the previous David Griffin ran style of this organization, which you would hope so, because that's why you let David Griffin go. But along the way, when you also lose your GM, you lose Swing Cash, and some of the other major components of what made the Pelicans for the past 5 years or so, you start to see where this team is starting to shift. So let's go ahead and read the full trade out here. The Pelicans have agreed to trade CJ McCollum, Kelly Olynyk, and a future second round pick, which is supposedly very protected. So there is a strong chance that that pick actually never gets conveyed. And that will be going to Washington in return for Jordan Poole, Sadiq Bey, and the 40th overall pick. Now, a lot of people will see that and they say, okay, Jordan Poole, interesting time with the Warriors. He won a championship, but he got real quiet in Washington. And that's where I think you have to maybe take a deeper dive. If you aren't keeping up with the NBA, obviously we know that the Pelicans were not the easiest franchise to sit down and watch night in, night out. So it's very understandable that this organization's fans are a little bit maybe disconnected from what went on around the larger league here. So let's take a look at the season stats for last year. Obviously, Jordan Poole played more games than CJ McCollum, as he did face some difficulties, 68 to 56 games. And then as far as points go, you have about a dead tie, less than a point separating that. Rebounds, again, about one rebound difference. CJ was a little bit better, but in about every other category, other than the overall field goal percentage, Jordan Poole beat out CJ pretty clearly, and that includes things like three-point percentage, free throw percentage, and that led Jordan Poole to have the overall higher points total per 36 minutes. So not necessarily overall when you look at how all their games got added up, but per 36 minutes, which is what you would expect night in, night out from your starter, that's where you kind of like to see a guy at. 25 points, a solid contributor, and this is where you get into that more nuanced look at what the guard situation is like for the Pelicans. Obviously, DeJounte Murray goes down with the torn Achilles. He will be likely available sometime following Christmas is what it looks like. He obviously has returned to practice in very limited capacity, but that is the earliest I would expect to see DeJounte Murray coming out there for your Pelicans. So when you take a look at that in reference to the current depth chart, you put a little bit of depth in this organization at minimum. Just getting yourself the chance to have a younger player is very, very advantageous, because this team was actually kind of getting a little bit older by NBA standards, despite the fact that you are supposedly still building up some type of just a regular playoff appearance team, much less a contender. So I think when Joe Dumars makes this move, he has to think, I need to give myself time with valuable assets. And that's where you take on someone like Jordan Poole, who has proven to be consistent outside of his original drafted team, has had a very solid season, particularly last year for Washington. Again, I think any Pelicans fan would be very excited if a solid all-star level type contributor for your team is getting 68 games played with the way how things have gone for the past 3 years or so here. I don't think anybody's going to complain. So you basically swap out your shooting guard effectively. Now, that doesn't mean that you won't see Jordan Poole maybe playing point guard as the season begins, particularly when we talk about the draft picks that we'll see later on, and we'll talk about that in the second half of the episode. I have my personal predictions for pick 7 as well as pick 23. I think both of them could be on the move as well, particularly 7. The Pelicans do own it outright. There's nothing stopping them from trading that pick. And obviously they have a lot in the tank now with the way how they've been moving things around. But particularly you then look at the other part of this trade, which is something that a lot of people are going to let fall underneath their nose, not really pay attention to, and that is Sadiq Bey. Sadiq Bey was 4th overall in his rookie year coming into the league as far as rookie of the year voting back in 2021. So that post-bubble year was sort of the NBA halfway shut down. We all remember that. Not the funnest times. And then proceeded to continue to put up very solid numbers as he started every single game of his sophomore campaign. And then started to face the injury bug. Started to face the, we don't know if this is a guy for our franchise. He kind of is doing some things good. He's doing some things not so good. But make no mistake, this person put up 51 points in a game before. This person has shown that they know how to absolutely ball out. Of course, a very solid contributing player, somebody who's not going to really leave you wanting much when it comes to his overall performance last year in 51 starts for the Hawks, 13.7 points per game with just over right about four rebounds, and that is, of course, on just one turnover per game. So really some solid stats there for somebody who presents the opportunity for the Pelicans to alter how their depth chart looks. Because you have to think about so many things that have happened in the immediately post-playoff tenure Pelicans. The depth last year was eaten apart, and you ended up bringing a lot of contributors in that maybe weren't necessarily guys you want to keep around forever. So to add another small forward behind presumably some combination of Herb, Zion, Trey Murphy if he goes back to playing the 3, but Trey's most likely in the 4 now. Just to put that little bit of a depth in the forward position really gives your team something that they haven't had really since Najee Marshall left, and then also just another contributing player with the potential for growth. Now, of course, Jordan Poole has 2 years left on his contract, and that's going to put yourself, again, in a position to where if you need to trade that asset later, you can. And that's one thing that I think is going to go underlooked. You also picked up some money, overlooked, but you picked up some money from the CJ trade. Jordan Poole's contract is better than CJ's. You have the ability to now give yourself a little bit more room away from that salary luxury tax. So two major aspects there to where the Pelicans now are in a better position. A better position in youth, a better position in potential flow. I think when you look at how Jordan Poole and Zion could play together, it's a lot more compatible maybe than how CJ was getting at this stage in his career, where obviously you would never trade away the leadership, you would never trade away the professionalism. I think CJ is debatably a top 10 all-time Pelican, as crazy as that sounds. But a guy who played a critical role for many years here for the franchise and kept them at least in the hunt some of those years, particularly when the two superstars that he was supposed to be the third man for never could get it together and play solid minutes together. I think CJ was there to really hold the team together in some capacity and did Willie Green pretty good in some of his better years. But like I said, we'll give CJ all his flowers when the time comes, but right now it is about what is coming for the Pelicans, what is coming up. And particularly, let's not delay this episode too much. I know I was personally about 30 to 50% done with the draft-only preview episode when the news broke, so I then had to immediately switch it up and add in this breaking news segment. But we'll go ahead. This is perfect time right now. We're in a change between talking about the breaking news and the now draft news, as don't forget the Pelicans also picked up the 40th pick overall, so they now hold three top 40 picks in a pretty decent draft. We'll talk about the top two they have on hand tonight. That will be the 7 and 23 here after we make this quick transition. And this is where you subscribe, follow, and wherever else you're watching, of course, let somebody know what the Pelicans are doing tonight. It's very important. Share with friends and get the hype coming back around the blender. So, looking at pick number 7. Pick number 7 is one that I think is going to make or break Joe Dumars and his early reaction by the fans. You have to wonder how you take account of a first round pick that isn't where you thought it was going to be. The Pelicans should have been picking 4th just purely by slot. Some people figured they would also have gone up, maybe broken into that top 3 of the lottery, yet somehow they find themselves almost out to the middle of the road down at 7. Still some very good opportunities, but obviously not quite what you thought. So I'm going to go in 3 directions here for the 7th pick. My most likely and most needed, which surprisingly the trade didn't affect that much, I still think the most needed is Jeremiah Fears coming out of Oklahoma, a solid guard who I believe could be a future franchise player for Pelicans, somebody who not only is a regular starter but has a potential to be a complete general in this new look franchise, because at the end of the day, no matter the fact that you brought in another elite guard, this team is still so very thin. Obviously, no DeJounte Murray until the middle of this year. You have Jose Alvarado, which, you know, he does his very best, but that's somebody who I wouldn't necessarily expect to be a night-in, night-out starter, but an amazing role player nevertheless. And this is where you start looking at somebody who has some pretty solid comparables. I think, you know, a Josh Hart, I think Markelle Fultz are pretty solid comparisons to what you'll see here from Fears. He'd had an amazing season at Oklahoma. We know how loaded the SEC was, by the way. Surprise, surprise, he's not the only SEC player in this list. But overall, I think if you take a look at Jeremiah Fears, what he could potentially bring to you as a just really, I believe, change in the way how the guard position is approached for the Pelicans. Very young guy, by the way, born in 2006. If that didn't get you a little bit shocked and off the couch, I don't know what will. But overall, started 31 of 34 games, averaged 17 points, and then 4 rebounds, 4 assists, and a steal and a half. Kind of gives me, and this is a little bit of a stretch, I don't really want to go that far, but a little bit more of a scoring threat still while maintaining his ability to distribute the ball. And that's one of those things that you really just have not had quite on this Pelicans team. Somebody who is a competent scorer but can still distribute. Usually it had to be one or the other. And if that's somebody who you can lock down here, I don't mind using that pick, loading up the guard position, and then later on you have the ability to trade away many different assets. I think that's something that could very well happen, particularly when you get close to the deadline, not this year but next year. Like I said, the Pelicans are in a great position to be able to expand and sort of shape their destiny under this new front office. I don't think you obviously get all your moves done in year one if you're Joe Dumars or Troy Weaver. You're going to have to build this over time. So Jeremiah Fears, I feel like, would be the ideal first selection. But that doesn't necessarily take into account the fact that there are two players also that I have here who I believe could equally change the way how the franchise operates, equally sort of shake up the anticipated abilities of what could happen. And that is, of course, starting with Trey Johnson, somebody who currently right now looks to be more slotted to go to Utah, but with the way how things are looking like, there could be some falls. I think this is a player that you have to be not only willing to potentially move up and go get if you think he's your guy, but somebody who I think you have to be ready to plug in day one. So first of all, you get the taller guard model. This is a solid shooting guard for you coming out of Texas. Again, a freshman, very young, somebody who will have to be built up. But when you take a look at this guy's comparables, you think Cam Thomas, great LSU Tiger, of course, for those of us here in Louisiana. And, of course, CJ McCollum, somebody who we've got to know very well here as Pelicans fans for the past years. And to a little bit, you just have a slight similarity to SGA Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, of course. But that's where the things sort of differ, where, you know, Shai had the ability to run both point or shooting guard. Trey is a pure shooting guard, and that is not lost in his deliverables. Just to give you some quick background, averaged 20 points, 3 rebounds, just under 3 assists, and a steal in his 34 minutes per game at Texas this past year, again, in the very competent and the very difficult SEC. Dropped 39 points on Arkansas, again, a team that went pretty good into the tournament with Coach Calipari. And that really shows you that I think that his game is a bit further developed than your average freshman guard. He has something that's a little bit more not quite project-based, like what I do believe Jeremiah Fears would be, which is where, you know, Jeremiah Fears kind of slots in now that you have both DeJounte Murray, Jordan Poole. You can slow his development, take your time with it. But Trey Johnson is somebody who I believe may not need that time and could play and immediately challenge those other two and put the Pelicans in a better position to be able to move those assets as you get into the next two trade deadlines. So I'm excited to see how the Pelicans choose to go at 7. Like I said, both of these guards could be somebody who you really want to see, again, to just stabilize the scoring ability of your team. If it's, you know, Jeremiah Fears, you're going to have a little bit more ability to control through the larger floor distribution of the ball and the asset allocation, if you will, if you want to call it that, you know, how he distributes the ball as well as scoring himself. Yet at the same time, Trey Johnson is somebody who I think needs a lot of shots. And since he needs a lot of shots, I don't know if you want to give him the opportunity to go out there with other people who also need a lot of shots now between Jordan Poole, Zion, and DeJounte Murray when he comes back. So overall, those are my two guard selections. Now my third one, I thought was going to require a trade up, but with what rumors are speculating now, it may not any longer. And it is somebody who the franchise is very high on, somebody who it has been said that, you know, Joe Dumars liked a lot, and that is Ace Bailey out of Rutgers. So you're looking at now a taller frame player. Of course, the Pelicans do need depth as well in the forward and the center positions. And I think Ace Bailey could be a type of guy that you can build over time to replace the role that, you know, you kind of saw from a Brandon Ingram, although he does a little bit more project out as a Michael Porter, Brandon Miller, I'm going to say a little bit of KD, but we don't like to throw those types of direct comparisons out there, at least I don't personally. Of course, Ace Bailey is a guy who has quite the personality, hasn't really worked out for anybody during this combine cycle, has kind of went about it his own way, and that's going to make it a little bit different and a little bit more challenging to be able to pinpoint where you end up putting him. You know, as far as a team, does that cause him to slide? It's a choice he made. But overall, the way how his lead up to the draft has gone is a little bit different. More power to him, of course, to be able to do that. He has, of course, a superstar teammate who he was able to light up things with during the entire season. Averaging, of course, 7.6 points per game, 7.2 rebounds, 1.3 assists, 1.3 blocks, and 1 steal for that 1-1-1 superfecta, of course. And you take a look at that as he played, currently has the potential to still maybe put a little bit of size on the frame. Of course, you would like to see that at 6'8", 203. Could definitely be a big threat as you get deeper on into his career. That would probably push Zion more forward into a more point Zion / shooting forward type of build of Zion, which wouldn't necessarily hurt anybody, or small forward, you might want to say, but you know, I feel like Ace Bailey would be the controversial pick. I feel like that would be the one that would maybe split the fan base a little bit more. And it's going to be weird because you have a lot of people who see we trade for a guard. Why would we draft a guard? But the Pelicans will have to decide between those three who's the right one to go with. And, you know, maybe you do something else. We've seen Joe Dumars talk about maybe moving the pick around. Right now, I like those three. That's who I'd go with at that. Now let's transition here to pick 23. Pick 23, of course, is what you got in the previous trade earlier this month from Indiana. At the time, you felt pretty good about that. Indiana going to the finals, pushing it all the way to a game seven. Then, of course, Tyrese Haliburton goes, tears the Achilles. And now it looks like the original option that you had to be able to pick swap with Indiana may have been the right route to go. But at the end of the day, you end up taking their pick for this year, and that now puts you in a position at 23. Certainly not a spot that I dislike, but it is a spot that I think you really only have two options, which is a little bit different than what you're seeing in the other ways. So there are two guys here that I've identified, and they're people that I'm sticking with despite the fact of what you may have seen or you may be thinking. I think you have to address the big man depth with this spot. I think your center position is incredibly critical that you shore that up immediately. Yiz Mesi did very well in his rookie year, but at the same time, he has no business, particularly now that you've traded away Kelly Olynyk, exclusively running that center position. I think if you put another young player that's a duo that you could keep together for quite a while, and potentially you're doing that, you know, off of a supermax situation to where you have a great financial tradability and a great financial flexibility going into the future. So first and foremost, I think if you want to talk about the guy who's most ready today, I think that is none other than Ryan Kalkbrenner out of Creighton. Super senior here, born 2002, so we're no longer talking about the guys born 2006. He, of course, started his career during the COVID year, 2020-2021, and that's where you look at somebody who has had the ability to build a career out. He's now pretty much second across the board in all-time Creighton statistics, a guy who really put together a solid playing career. And this is also somebody who is confident in pretty much every aspect of his game. You really like the way how he can play the ball most directly. Doesn't have a strong comparison in the NBA, which is good for him, right? And he was 32% from the three, so he will step back. But I see him playing the three a little bit more like Jonas Valanciunas did for the Pelicans, where if there's an opportunity, he's open, he's disrespected from a defensive perspective. Yes, he could step back, but I don't know if he gives you quite the flexibility when it comes to keeping the paint open for players like Zion and Trey Murphy to do the majority of their work under the glass on offense and then to be able to go back and take over the glass on defense. That's what you would really like to see from a Pelican center. And, you know, at 7'1", 250, he certainly has the frame to do it, particularly if you continue to bulk that up just a little bit. I don't think you would really lose much. He has a very solid touch around the basket, which does allow him to both also throw down some dunks, but primarily can work in both aspects of the game, his short game and his dunking game. Really someone who I think is ready to go early, someone who's very mature in their position, somebody who very much understands what they want to do. And if it was me, I feel like if I'm looking for somebody who doesn't have the highest ceiling but plays the role that I need him to play, which is to work hand in hand with Yiz Mesi, that's someone who I think I would personally take, and he is my primary pick for the Pelicans at pick 23. But of course, that does not mean he is the only pick for the Pelicans. And my secondary pick is a what would you call it? Let's just call it a training partner for none other than Wemby, and that is Maxime Rayon out of France. Played his ball at Stanford, also a little bit older, born 2003, senior. So this is somebody who is definitely more the project type of player. Somebody who is not quite as developed in his basketball game, but does have strong projections to the guy who you just traded out, actually, in Kelly Olynyk. And you take a look at that, you also see something along the lines of maybe like, maybe Zach Collins, maybe even Frank the Tank. But, of course, Frank the Tank didn't do quite as well in the NBA. That's where I think this player does make a little bit of a difference. His three game is actually pretty good. Really has the ability to go out there, shoot the ball, feels confident. And that's how he did, you know, in France working with Wimby. I believe those are, that's kind of that now. We almost can call it a French basketball model where you take the things that you saw in the mid-2000s from players like KD, and then you go and find 7-foot-tall men and say, okay, be that, but on another level. And that's where the build is starting to come together. So he averaged 20 points, 10.5 rebounds, 1.7 steals, 1.4 blocks. And really, I feel like he was a guy who you take a look at what could become. If I'm looking for somebody who could become a starting center night in, night out, I'm probably taking this guy. I'm probably taking this guy for somebody who could be a sleeper, you know, third team all NBA in the future, maybe a defensive team, something along that line. But I'm not taking either one of these guys to expect them to be able to handle the load exclusively. This will be a center by committee type of team unless there's some other trade that has not yet been announced. Overall, I think that these are both solid players. You take a look again, just one last bit, average 5.3 threes per game, which is a solid part of his game. It's not so much of a, oh, I'm only going to go out there and take it if I'm not open. He will go and make himself available. He plays great off the ball, and he's going to be a type of guy who would go and find a way to go and put himself in position to get some touches. Maybe if, you know, you have Zion in a double team, difficult situation, you kick the ball out. And again, this is just assuming this is where the team's going to develop over the next few years while you still have Zion on contract. So excuse the references, but that's where it comes from. So those are my two selections for pick 23. Of course, we cannot forget, which is very much on the table, they trade the picks. It would not be surprising if we're watching and all of a sudden you see the notification come out, the Pelicans have traded pick 7. I think it's something this franchise is willing to do at this point. I don't think Joe Dumars is in any way hesitant to make major moves. I think he knows where he wants to go, and it's pretty far away from where the team was. He certainly trusts some of the assets that are here, but I don't think it would be that wise if he ended up taking in, you know, a total of now, let's call it 5 new players under 27. I don't know how young he really wants this Pelicans team to be, but, you know, that's what it would be like if you did keep all 3 picks and you bring in basically a third of a brand new young basketball team. It'll be interesting to see. And, of course, we'll talk about it here on Keeping It True by You Pelicans and True Bayou Sports Media Primetime. Of course, thank you all for watching. Do make sure in the comments, let me know who you think the Pelicans are picking. If this comes out to you after the Pelicans have already drafted, let me know what you think about how my analysis worked or if I was completely wrong. Don't forget, you can always tell me that as well. I love it either way. Thanks, everybody, for watching, and we'll see you in the next episode of Keeping It True Bayou Pelicans. Thanks.
This has been a True Bayou Media production. This show is for entertainment purposes only and does not render legal or financial advice. Remember to bet responsibly. Distribution of this podcast is prohibited without the express written consent of True Bayou Media or its subsidiaries. Thanks for being true by us. We can't wait until next time we keep it true by you.